and welcome to another episode of the DeathStoreProds.com comic book podcast. This is going to be a little bit different than the first one we did, because on top of doing the regular podcast of what we've been reading for the week and all that jazz, we're also doing a review cast for some of the new 52 that we did not get around to writing, which is a lot of them. Okay, so actually, let me just grab a paper and pen so I can write this shit down. Okay, you guys talk about yourselves, introduce yourselves.
Okay, I'll go first, I suppose. I was on last week for the first time. I am Homme d'Araignée, but short to Araignée for convenience sake. The ones that I didn't get around to reviewing this week, I will be talking about here, are Deathstroke and Mr. Terrific. So two pretty good titles. I'll be discussing them in greater detail. I'll turn it over to you, Bovi.
All right, I'm Bovi Wallen. The two I didn't get around to this week I'm going to be reviewing here are Red Lanterns and Frankenstein, Agent of Shade.
Okay. And the ones I didn't get around to reviewing, I got a lot of them. They are Demon Knights, Grifter, Resurrection Man, and one other one, I think. What was it? Batman and Robin.
How could you forget that one? Come on.
It wasn't that good.
Yeah, that's why I didn't read it. I wasn't looking forward to that one. Not a big Robin guy.
Like, I don't mind Robin. I just hate Damian.
Oh, I love Damian. He's the best Robin there's been.
Fuck that.
No, he's a bit of an arrogant prick.
That's why I love him so much. Robin's just been this little boy, little circus boy pushover. I'm excited to see a Robin with some spine.
Yeah, but Tim Drake.
I don't know. I mean, Damian was raised as an assassin. Like, he's not afraid to cross that line, and it's just, like, barely holding back for him, and I think that that's a really key element to his psyche.
Yeah, but he's also an annoying little bitch who won't shut the fuck up.
Yeah, he needs to learn some tact, I agree. But he's young, so hopefully we'll see where that goes.
I just really hope that at some point just like flashes back to like the 80s and just Batman just slaps upside the head and just goes, quieter, pop a spank.
Or the Joker kills him with a crowbar.
Oh, that'd be so good.
He almost did in that one with Dick Grayson as Batman. One of the newer ones almost killed him with a crowbar there. That was interesting.
Okay, well, we'll get into that later. So right now, let's go with Araignée. So just out of the ones you reviewed this week, which were your favorite?
I think my favorite was definitely Superboy. I was really looking forward to reading that one. I was excited about it. And it definitely did not disappoint. Really interesting story. It was different for a comic book. It wasn't incredibly action-packed. It was more of an introspective thing. But it definitely worked. I'm not going to spoil it for those who haven't read it yet, but it's very Matrix-y in its storyline, which was really cool. They did a lot of tongue-in-cheek action with talking about how his human donor of DNA was yet to be unknown, and it was almost revealed a couple of times, actually. So I think that new readers there are in for an interesting surprise when they find out who that is.
Yeah.
And obviously, we know where his Kryptonian DNA came from. But that series is definitely shaping up to be a really good one, definitely one to check out. Mm-hmm. And it is going to be tied in, I think, with Superman, Supergirl, maybe even Teen Titans. I saw that there was a mention of Teen Titans at the end there, so we'll see where that goes. I'm really excited about it.
Okay, cool. What do you think about the art?
The artwork was good. It had, like I said in my review, it did have a slight manga influence to it at moments, and I've never been a huge fan of American comics taking on the artistic qualities of manga. However, it was subtle, and I think it really did ultimately work. So although I am a bit of a hater when it comes to that, I appreciated the fact that they slipped it in there with a lot of class. Other than that, pretty standard stuff. One weird thing was that the body proportions seemed to be a little out of whack. There's one full page of him actually standing up, and he looked jacked, and he never looked like that big in any of the other drawings of him, even on the next page. So a little bit weird there. But we'll see. Perhaps it was just testing some stuff out on the first issue, but definitely one to watch.
Okay, cool. So, Bovi, out of the ones you've read this week, what ones were your favorite?
I gotta say, my favorite overall was Suicide Squad. Because, you know, I've always liked Harley Quinn as one of the Batman villains, so now she's pretty much her own series. She's got shared a bit, but pretty much getting her own series, which is good. I also like the whole toss-up view, seeing things from the villain's point of view rather than the hero's. Always something I've been a fan of. And the storyline is dark and gritty, and I like the way that Harley's character has been written. She's a total psychopath sadist, which is hilarious when people are trying to torture her for information. Which isn't a spoiler, that's the entire issue.
So just with her character in that thing, is she still like the kind of person, like when I was reading Gotham City Sirens a while ago, she was still kind of still trying to get herself off of the Joker. Is she still kind of attached to the Joker in this thing, like at all, or is she just completely independent of him now?
At this point, the only actual mention we see of her and the Joker is it talks about how she got imprisoned, and basically the Joker got caught, he got imprisoned, and then she was murdering people to avenge him. That's where the series is leaving off, and that's when she was captured.
Cool. What do you think of the art?
Like I said, I have mixed feelings about it. A lot of times it's nice, gritty, dark, but other times it's way too bright and smooth, which is good for some series, but it's not good for this. If you're looking at a room where people are being tortured, you're not expecting, you know, a lot of bright, clean colors or smooth-looking faces. So yeah, that could be a bit better.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so for me, obviously it was the only one I reviewed this week, Batwoman. That comic is fucking amazing. Like, I said in the review, I just recently started getting like the Batwoman stuff with Detective Comics. I read about her. She was in a Final Crisis, and I just really love her as a character. Like, she is gay. Like, she is the only gay member of the Batman family. But while her homosexuality is an aspect of her character, it is not her character.
Yeah, I think DC is really approaching this issue well with a lot of heroes, so it's nice to see that they're taking a pretty mature approach with this one as well.
Yeah, like I said in the review, like if you just looked at her walking down the street, you'd probably just think she was a goth chick, not a lesbian at all. And right. And even with like the and I really like the art in it too. With the art, it's goes back and forth between like when they're just regular people. I think I've used this wrong in the review, but they're like really soft shadows on everyone, really like smooth looking everyone. But then when you get into the Batgirl stuff, Batwoman stuff, I mean, it's like really super clean, super, super neat. And like Batwoman, she actually glows kind of. Like the costume, you can actually tell it's made of like some really tight, like leather kind of material, because it actually reflects a light back at people. Like even her lips, because my God, does she wear a lot of makeup? But yeah, it's just like lips that are as red as her hair. And her hair is just like fucking red as shit.
Yeah, the only artwork I've even seen for that was the cover page. I saw it when they were kind of promoting the new 52. That was a pretty big recurring image. And yeah, I mean, if the artwork on the front is anything like the artwork on the inside, it was really cool stuff. So I approve for sure.
Yeah, it was real good. And just another thing that I really like about this thing. Well, the Batman. You know, he does this whole dark, gritty thing while fighting other dark, gritty characters like, you know, mobsters and serial killers like that. She's fighting a fucking ghost. Like, that is the thing. Like, when I was reading the, like, comic stuff, like, there was a cult of crime trying to sacrifice her to bring about the rebirth of Cain, who killed his brother Abel or some shit, and then, like, her evil twin sister, who thinks she's, like, Alice from Alice in Wonderland, is summoning fucking werewolves to attack her.
So it's a little bit out there compared to Batman, for sure, you're saying.
Yes, it is. But it still tries to ground itself in that kind of really serious reality. Like, I quoted this in the review, when she's out there going out with a Flame Bird, who was her cousin, It's like, you don't need a flamboyant outfit. Then she puts on the Batwoman mask. You need a uniform.
After what? She does up all her makeup and stuff.
Yeah, the makeup is already done. She just, like, puts on the cowl, and all of a sudden, serious business.
Right.
And that was just really hilarious to me. Just that little bit where it's just like, there's like, if that had been in anything else, it would have been, that you could imagine that in like kind of like a World War II style thing where it's like, you know, Captain America is kind of like going on, he comes into the big thing, the big suit that he's wearing when he's on stage, but then he gets the different suit where it's like really toned down colors and all that shit. It's like, you don't need a garish outfit, you need a uniform.
Right.
But her outfit is still horribly garish because she has like 4 foot long, bright red hair, bright red lipstick, white face paint on there, just leather cat suit, bodysuit. It's fucking hilarious.
Right, so kind of a contradiction to what you're saying then.
Yeah, it is a major contradiction, but
that's,
I love it.
That's awesome.
I love that story. And plus, fucking ghosts.
No, that's an awesome thing for a Bat family character to be fighting, because that's like the polar opposite of Batman. I like
that. That is the antithesis of what the Bat family is supposed to do. Like Nightwing fighting criminals, Batman fighting criminals, Red Robin fighting criminals, Red Hood, kind of a criminal but also fighting criminals, Batwoman fighting fucking Spanish ghosts who are drowning children.
Punching ghosts right in the face.
Fly kicks through the windows, like, let the children go! while the woman is, like, holding the kid's parents and drowning him with her tears.
Wow, that's dark enough for a Batman comic. I like that.
Yes, it is dark, because what she's doing is the ghost has been kidnapping and drowning children.
Wow. Yep, that sounds about right.
That's a ghost. So yeah, that was my absolute favorite. I think it might have been my favorite of the New 52 so far.
Wow. Deserves a lot of recognition then.
Yes, 5 out of 5, easily.
Very good.
Okay, so what was your least favorite for this week?
Oh, I can go at this one. My review just went up tonight for Legion Lost #1. And I was not impressed with this one at all. Total waste of money. I couldn't stand it. I mentioned in the review, to be fair, I was never a big Legion of Superheroes fan or anything like that. But this just, I mean, I know that I've been kind of saying, like, in all of my reviews, like, oh, you know, it's a #1, so you kind of need to provide, like, a backstory and all that stuff, but I don't mind it jumping right into the action. This kind of jumps right into the action, doesn't explain any of the characters. I've noticed in different comics so far, they've had, like, little breakdown squares in the panels to show, like, this is who they're, what they're called, this is their power set list and stuff like that. This has none of that. Their powers are glazed over really quickly. They don't even really seem to go very far, and I don't know. When they do, like, it's kind of like all frantic and rushed, but you never really seem like you're rushed to get there. You don't really sympathize with characters at all. Mm. And yeah, story didn't go anywhere. Didn't like it. Art was, it was okay. It had its moments. Ultimately, though, really annoying, really cluttered, in really not a well thought out color scheme. I was very unimpressed with this comic, and I do not recommend it to anybody.
Okay, then why'd you give it a 1?
I gave it a 1 because there was some nice artistic elements. Personally, I am an artist, and I appreciate when an artist can pull off something difficult. There was some awesome foreshortening details in like the flight scenes or the action scenes and stuff, and that did bring a little something extra for me. But honestly, that really can't pull a whole comic book along, so...
Mm-hmm.
So that is a 1 out of 5 for me.
Okay. So, Bobby, how about you?
This is actually a tough choice for me, but I think I'm going to have to go with Green Lantern.
Okay, so yeah, I was thinking you were reviewing that, like you never, I didn't hear you mention it, so I was trying to remember. So, what didn't you like about it? And also give a score, because...
I did post up a review. It won't be up yet, because... But it's... I posted it to the site.
Oh, okay. Well, have a look at that.
Okay. But it was 3 out of 5.
Ah, okay.
So anyways, mostly what I didn't like about it was that nothing happens.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of don't like it when a comic does that and nothing happens. Bad enough if it's an origin story. This isn't an origin story. It skips all the origin stories. Basically, Hal Jordan's back on Earth. Sinestro's a Green Lantern again.
Mm, that can go well.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Hal Jordan's not a Green Lantern.
What is he?
Nothing. That's the entire... like, 95% of the comic is Hal Jordan on Earth as a human trying to adjust to being normal again.
Wow.
Which consists of only one good scene where he, like, jumps from one building to another and beats the crap out of an actor because they were filming a movie where he's, like, beating up this woman. So he just, like, jumps from his apartment building into the building next to it, through a window, beating this guy. That was the only thing worthwhile in the entire comic. The rest of it is, okay, the Guardians are arguing. Sinestro doesn't like the Yellow Lanterns anymore. Hal Jordan's back on Earth. There you go.
Just a second. The Yellow Lantern Corps was called the Sinestro Corps.
Yeah, that is Sinestro.
But they betray him by enslaving his planet rather than protecting it.
Yeah.
So why would the Guardians let him back into the Green Lantern Corps after all that he's done? He's clearly betrayed them before.
Yes, he made his own fucking core.
They don't really explain that too well. They say two things. One, it's a chance at redemption. Two, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. It's like, really? You're going to explain yourself with a cliche.
Yeah, you've been alive since the beginning of time, and that's all you can think of. Good job. So,
they're like, as Hal Jordan would say, you kicked Hal Jordan out.
Yeah, yeah.
For being reckless.
They kicked Hal Jordan out for being Hal Jordan?
Yeah. Third person douchiness is required.
Oh, God.
So why the 3 out of 5 then? What was the good points there? I can't really discern any conversation here.
I guess mostly because I actually did find it a bit interesting to see him go through the Green Lantern withdrawal, kind of see the characters suddenly have to flip their opinions. That was interesting while uneventful. And maybe I was just being a little bit too kind. I'm pretty new to reviewing, so maybe that was it. I don't know.
That's fair. I mean, I understand what it's like to, you know, kind of like fall in love with a series and not want to bash on it too hard when they mess it up, so.
Well, just, have you guys ever heard of Heat? Hal's Emerald Action Team.
I think maybe like once in my life, but definitely not enough to discuss.
Okay, so I'm just wondering, like, they took Hal Jordan and made him not the Green Lantern. They did this once, back in the 90s, I think. Hmm. And this is before the internet. A huge group of hundreds upon hundreds of people got together to bitch and moan until Hal was reinstated as the Green Lantern.
Oh wow, so I can only imagine the response now.
Yeah, this was through like the whole Parallax thing where Hal all of a sudden like, oh, he went like his town got destroyed by Mongol and Cyborg Superman, then shit went crazy and then Kyle Rayner became it.
Right.
And everyone was just bitching and moaning and whining and they wouldn't shut the fuck up about it. So then Geoff Johns rewrote Green Lantern as Green Lantern again, made Parallax the evil yellow space bug.
Right on.
Yeah, so I'm just wondering like, if we will find like a similar thing will happen now because now Hal Jordan is just a dude. He is ruining movies. He's not doing anything especially heroic. So
they'll have to bring him back as a Green Lantern. Well, that would just make sense.
Yeah, I'm not going to spoil too much, but at the end of this issue, they make it look like he might eventually get his Green Lantern powers back.
Hmm. Well, we do see, like, in, you know if this takes place before or after, the Justice League one?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, that must be a separate case, then. That's strange. I can't make sense of that now.
Does Hal Jordan still refer to himself in the third person?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
No, I mean in Green Lantern.
Oh, in Green Lantern, yeah.
Not now. No.
Yeah. I needed the ring to contain his douchiness.
Yes. No, I need the ring to express his douchiness. You know, like
oh, no, he's still a douche. Don't worry.
Yeah, he's a third-person douche. Like, when he was going to jump through that window, it was like, all right, Hal Jordan's got this.
No, absolutely not. It was like,
oh, maybe it was good for him to get knocked out, you pigs.
Oh, crap.
Great comic book writing. Just like, I will kill you to death. Fucking Superboy Prime. Okay, so for me, the biggest disappointment for this week, my least favorite one, was Resurrection Man. I know this one seemed like it would be actually kind of interesting. Like, I figured it might be some like kind of Kid Eternity or some shit like that, but no. So issue starts. Guy wakes up in a morgue. All of a sudden, he has lightning powers. Yeah. Okay. Then some people are trying to hunt him down or something, and he gets sucked into a plane engine turbine, but somehow his clothes manage to survive it, and then he can melt. It's just stupid fucking writing, stupid fucking story, stupid fucking art. Like, the art was okay, it just... I did not like this issue at all. I will never be following this series again for as long as I live. 1 out of 5.
Wow, so it's on par with Legion Lost in terms of shittiness.
Yeah, it's just, I fucking hated it. I did not like it at all. It was just so fucking boring, too. Just, oh god. Just, like, so much ponderous dialogue. Like, I think it goes on for, like, 3 pages for him to explain that he has lightning powers.
That's annoying. I mean, that character has such an opportunity to be so diverse with the new power set every life, and, I mean, I would have hit that hard if I was writing that issue. I would have played that up a lot. So that's kind of annoying.
Oh, and just have it like, you know, he's running in like lightning power, then he gets shot and comes back fire power. But no, lightning power, then get into a jet turbine, then he can melt.
Just spam powers at the enemy until he's dead.
Yes. Yes. So, yeah. 1 out of 5 for Resurrection Man. It was just fucking terrible.
Fair enough.
Okay, let's get on to more. Let's get on to some actual reviews. So,
all right.
So let's start with Aranye. So, what do you think of Deathstroke?
Deathstroke was a definite runner-up for my favorite comic this week. That was the probably the most one of the more violent comics I've ever read in the DC mainstream continuum. A lot of beheading, a lot of blood, a lot of good stuff. I mean, Deathstroke is Deathstroke. He's a top-notch badass. He's just got enough sort of meta-human in him to, you know, survive these absurd situations. He's totally ruthless in this. Like, I'm not going to give away much, but it establishes some close bonds with other characters that get cut short. So he's very, very ruthless, very classic Deathstroke, very hard. The story was great, very action-packed. Didn't even bother explaining any background, which kind of adds to the mystery of Deathstroke, which I like. Overall, it was awesome. Great story. Great artwork. Very, very violent. I liked it.
Okay. Score?
Score, I would have to probably say, I don't want to say it's perfect. There were some elements that could have been improved, but it was very good. So I'm actually going to say 4.5. I'm going to give it the extra 0.5. Just because of the level of badass they managed to crank out in such a short time. So, solid issue. If you're into that sort of thing, just rough and tumble, killing people left and right, then this series is going to be one that you're going to enjoy.
Did it mention anything about his kids?
No, surprisingly it didn't. And I think, I mean, as nice as that would have been, and I mean, as if they may include it as an element later, perhaps, I think that kind of added to his mystique and his badassness, because he's been a dick to his kids before, but we've often seen a sentimental side of him when it comes to them. So I'm kind of happy they didn't mention his kids. Mm-hmm. But like I said, that isn't out of the picture. He's getting old. It's showing he's getting kind of old in this one. So perhaps we will see.
Just like before they did the new 52 thing, when I was reading like some of the Teen Titans stuff and all that, when they actually Deathstroke was actually in it. They seem to be kind of humanizing him, like, making him, like, oh, I regret what I've done to you kids, I want, like, better life for all you shit. It's like, no, he doesn't.
Yeah,
I
know.
Deathstroke. He kills his friends and takes out superheroes.
Exactly why I appreciate this issue. Gets back to his roots, back to the ruthless, you know, merc sort of kill anyone for enough money sort of thing. So
yes, back to I got a sword and a gun.
And actually, an interesting change up with the sword. We've classically seen him with a katana sort of style sword for the most part. Mm-hmm. He seems to be using a bit more something along the line of a broadsword. Really different, but very violent and very effective at decapitating people. So.
Oh yeah, I've seen what a broadsword can do. Like I saw it actually like decapitating three people with one swing. So
yeah.
Enhanced Deathstroke. Oh god.
Yeah, that would be pretty brutal. He takes on in the very beginning, just as an introduction to who he is, he takes out like a security team guarding this unnamed important businessman and. It just, like, goes for the killing stroke with his sword right away and then worries about the security team afterwards. Like,
you might
just...
say the death stroke.
Oh, well done. Well played. I'm glad you inserted that. I was going to make that, and I decided, no, I won't.
Yeah, so, tick. Ring that bell. Ding, ding.
So, yeah. Overall, like I said, 4.5 out of 5. Good, solid issue.
Okay, so moving on. Mr. Terrific.
Mr. Terrific, I don't know, it would have been better for me if I hadn't read it immediately after Deathstroke, probably. it was good. It was a solid comic. Definitely not as good as Superboy or Deathstroke, but Mr. Terrific is not exactly what I'm into to begin with, so I'm going to say that I am a little bit biased. Mm-hmm. Nothing too flashy. There's a brief introduction and background covered. I liked how they kept that smooth, pretty quick, covered the basics, and that was about it.
Mm-hmm.
The villain, I think they did really well. They introduced some sort of high-pitched ringing noise that apparently strikes people at random and increases their intelligence rapidly. And it strikes a random guy at a diner, and he just... starts stating facts about society's very nihilistic almost. He's very angry at everybody, and so it's an interesting way to show that someone is going to be inserting some sort of mind control. Looks really cool because Mr. Terrific obviously kind of hailed as, I think it's the third smartest man in the world or something like that.
I don't think he's that high.
He's smart.
He's in the top. He's in the top 10.
Yeah, he knows what he's talking about. So
he knows a thing or two about a thing or two.
That's correct. So
maybe he's a fan of Phantasm.
So he'll have a match intellectually in this, which is nice because I always like to see an intellectual battle as well as a physical battle.
Yeah.
He's there was one thing that bothered me about the art. That's my only concern about the art. This artist, who I actually don't have the name of here. I have three names on the cover, so I'm just not even going to bother. they had this weird technique of doing faces. Every once in a while you'd see it. They were kind of having the character look up and then cast their eyes down, so it's trying to make like an alpha sort of stare, but their head just ended up looking pretty egg-shaped, and it actually looked kind of funny more than anything else. So a little bit of a weird technique there. Very clean, sleek, like it's supposed to be with technology and whatnot. So solid issue. I'd give it a 3.5 out of 5, I'd say. Just because it was lacking in kind of overall excitement and there really wasn't anything too special to it. But I think that it's definitely a series that could take off for sure.
Okay, cool. So, yeah. Moving on. Bobby, tell me about the Red Lanterns.
I'd really like this issue. Personally, good story, good artwork. It is a little more origin focused than a lot of the other stuff I've read, because it does actually give the backstory of how I cannot remember his name.
Atrocitus?
Yeah, I'm gonna say Atros for short because that is used.
Yeah.
But yeah, mostly when a comic opens with a bunch of aliens that live off of other beings' pain being murdered by a cat, I'm pretty happy.
Oh, that cat. That was a great cat.
So yeah, it does well to keep in the carnage and the hate, and also does a good job of explaining Atros's backstory, and also issues he might start facing now that his core has a little bit less faith in him.
Hmm.
And yeah, the artwork was, I had no complaints about it. It's pretty much what you'd expect from a Lantern series, except a little red. Bit better.
Better red than dead.
So yeah, overall, I'd say 4 out of 5 for that one.
Okay. So, now moving on. Frankenstein. Yeah.
Yeah, Frankenstein. This is another tying up one. Like, my only real issue with Frankenstein, because I like the artistic style, everything's a bit faded and toned down, which, you know, isn't bad if that's what you're going for. And the story, it's kind of thrown together very quickly. I'm guessing that this particular issue was made with the assumption that you've read previous ones. For example, Father Time, who I guess is a Time Lord because he changes his appearance every so often, is now a little girl. And, you know, we're introduced to Father Time as a little girl, except we don't really get told who Father Time is, other than she, I guess, leads SHADE, which is this organization that deals with paranormal activity, with paranormal activity. For example, Frankenstein and his wife are their best agents.
Well, yeah, you're gonna, you know, fight fire with fire.
Yeah, but there's a lot of good action in it. Good look to it, good feel to the story. I'd say a 3 out of 5.
Okay. 3 out of 5. Okay.
Mostly because it makes you feel a little bit left behind when it starts.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So now, fuck, we've got 3 other series to read for me. So, starting up, Batman and Robin. Yeah. Okay, so this issue, it starts out, like, Batman is Bruce Wayne now. Like, just full disclosure, I only just started reading the old Batman and Robin stuff. Like, from... like the most recent one where with Dick Grayson as Batman, Tim Drake as Robin.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking Damian Wayne, like I said. And so, well, with this one, I don't really know, like, how that dynamic has changed, like, since, because everything I've seen with Damian and Dick, like, Damian is just constantly tearing down Dick, saying, oh, if my father was here, he'd do this or something. It's like, you're not fit to wear that mantle, I should be wearing it. And then Dick is just tolerating it. And so I don't know if, like, when Bruce came back, if anything changed there. But now, nothing has changed. Because Damian is still just fucking annoying little fucking turd. Like, at the beginning of this issue, what happens is Bruce is taking Damian out to the site of his parents' murder for the first and last time. Because he's finally putting their death behind him. Even though it's kind of the reason he is who he is.
Huh, yeah, that's pretty much the only reason he's Batman.
Yes, and that's pretty much the only reason that Damian exists.
Actually, yes. Good call.
Yeah, so when they get there, Damian's like, why the fuck are we doing this? Why are we going here? Why do you drag me out here? Why are we doing this? They're already dead. Just fucking get over it. And it's the entire time, I'm just waiting for Batman to just turn around and slap the fuck out of him.
My parents are dead!
Yes, my parents are dead. Their death is the only reason you're fucking here. So sit down, shut the fuck up, and pay your respects. Because,
yeah.
God, this fucking kid, like, his mom should have beat him more.
Just, you know, let me know which issue he actually punches Damian in the face.
That's one to buy.
Yes. Oh, yeah, and Damian kills some people.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
How does Bruce take that?
He just kind of says, what do you do? And then leaves.
Oh. Wow, that's a piss-off. I don't want to see a soft Batman.
No one wants to see a soft Batman.
There's no such... There shouldn't be such a thing as a soft Batman. That's something they should be careful with.
Yes, you always keep your Batman nice and hard. And if he's hard for more than 4 hours, you should seek medical attention. But, yeah, so this is kind of like mid... It's like mid-issue. The guys, they are chasing... Like, Batman and Robin, they're chasing down some guys who are stealing nuclear material. And so then they jump in... So, the guys, they jump in and steal, like, Batman's, like, water ship or whatever, the bat boat.
Okay.
So then Damian jumps off, pulls some wires, and then that all of a sudden like activates the nuclear material that's inside and causes the bat ship to explode, possibly disintegrating everybody inside.
Huh. That's
a thing.
It's not exactly something you see Batman do, but that's kind of why I personally have a thing for this Robin.
I would too.
Better than Dick Grayson.
I would like this Robin too, but if, like, I kind of like him, but if he just, like, would shut the fuck up every once in a while.
Yeah, that's true. Hopefully, like, they mature him.
Yes, like, if he was more like a Carl, like, if he was more like Carl Grimes from Living Dead, then I might be able to like him more.
Yes.
Sure, because he's still youthful and still a bit of a prick, but he tones it down.
Yes, and, like, he kills people.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't let people know that he kills people. Like, that would be the thing, like, if... Because, like, when he killed that kid, kid getting into Walking Dead, but, like, early on, some kid, early on, like, the two brothers, they...
That's not early on.
It's earlier than where the series is now.
Okay.
Yes, it was back, like, I think in, like, the 40s or 50 issues. Nah, whatever. So, anyway, twin brothers, one kills the other one, and then acts like nothing happened. So then Carl goes into his tent at night and shoots him in the face.
Yeah, that was a good one. I appreciated that
one. And then goes back to his tent and acts like nothing happens. That's what I would like Damian to do. Just like, you know, he puts on like a different mask or like puts the hood up because like this Robin has a hood and I really like the hood look. I really like the hooded look.
Yeah, the hood looks good.
Yeah, so if he just like goes out there, puts up the hood, and then just starts killing some people and then goes back home and acts like nothing happened. You know, putting his assassin training against Bruce's detectiveness.
Hmm.
That would be really interesting, but no, it's just, oh, actually, I killed some people, now I'm going to bitch to my dad some more.
Yeah, he needs some discipline there, and I really hope we see the Batman give that to him, because he totally could.
Yes, I really want to just see him just, like, are you retarded? Are you fucking stupid? I'm the goddamn Batman.
Just pick him apart physically and mentally and leave him, you know, a crying mess in the corner.
Yes, just to pick him up.
I'm waiting for your testicles to drop so I can knee them into your skull.
Yeah, just
hold them right back up there.
Yeah, just holds him by the throat and throws him off the edge of the Batcave. And then just as he's about to hit the ground, throw a batarang down there, bungee him back up, and punch him in the face. He's like, clean that up, bitch, and make me a sandwich. Okay, but... And then the other thing that's going on is the issue actually starts out, like, the first couple of pages of this issue, it is in Russia. This guy who looks kind of like Bane, but with a Batman mask on. You know, he's like trying to arrest some guy. He's like, I'm the Russian representative for Batman. I will take you down. And then all of a sudden, a gun like just comes out of nowhere, shoots that guy in the head, and then breaks the Russian Batman's arms and legs.
Wow.
And then the guy just all of a sudden says, and like the guy just like, who is there? Who are you? And like some guy just kind of like fades in because he was invisible. It's like, me? I'm nobody. And neither are you. And then just, like, lightning appears out of his hand or something, and you see the Russian Batman screaming.
Huh. So a new villain there as well, then, I suppose.
Yes, a new villain who I really like. And this is why I'm giving this issue what I give this issue, because that bit right there just kind of redeems it for me. Just like, okay, you are obviously going somewhere with this. Hopefully Batman and Robin's relationship will get better or worse, depending on how you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
But you're obviously going some places, and I'm really looking forward to that, actually. So, Batman and Robin, I give a 3.5 out of 5.
Hmm.
Okay, moving on. Demon Knights. So, this, arguably, had the greatest cover of any New 52 to date.
Yeah, it was pretty badass.
The comic is not so much badass.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's like, when I went into this thing, I expected, like, you know, it would be like Jason Blood, he's the modern-day writer or whatever, like, occultist. And all of a sudden, Demon comes out of him, and he starts fucking shit up and killing people left and right because Etrigan is, like, fucking insane. Mm-hmm. But, no, it starts in Arthurian times where, like the where, like Camelot's under siege by people. Then Merlin, he seals the demon Etrigan inside this guy Jason Blood, and then Madame Xanadu's also there, cause yeah. And it's just some guys like run around like some other guy has Excalibur because Arthur's not anymore, because I think Arthur's dead at this point.
Hmm.
And then it just kind of, and then just, like, then it just has, like, Jason just freaking like, what the hell did you put in me? And then it goes, like, a couple hundred years into the future, where it's still kind of medieval times, but not really. Like, it is still medieval times, but it's early, but it's later medieval times.
Right.
Where Xanadu and Blood are, like, roaming the countryside, trying, like, to keep low profile, I guess, because they're immortals. And they are apparently fucking each other now.
Huh.
But it's like the ancient times thing, but everyone still talks like modern people.
Oh, that's annoying.
Yes, the one thing I did not like about Etrigan was he always spoke in rhymes.
Yeah.
But if he had just kept like the these and thous, like actually talked like he was from the Middle Ages, they would have been more interesting to me.
Right.
Yeah, and then when he actually brings out Etrigan, He just kind of seems like a kind of a douchebag.
Hmm.
Yeah, and Xanadu's also fucking him instead of Jason because Blood still believes that he's the one that your fire of passion burns for or some shit.
Uh-huh.
And then Xanadu starts making out with him. So if this series gets some balls, you know, pop demon sex. I guess
that's another interesting manga influence.
He doesn't have tentacles, though.
That's too bad. They should add those. That'd be fun.
Yeah, and then there's also this other guy in there, Vandal Savage. Have you, either of you heard of him?
Yeah, actually, I have.
I have not. He's just kind of there. You know, like, you're just walking along, all of a sudden, some guy kicks down the door. It's like, oh, Vandal Savage! Like, wait, what? Who's this guy? Why should I care?
He was I think he actually made an appearance in Smallville a little bit, didn't he?
I don't know. I blocked that show out.
Oh, come on, give it another chance.
No, I've watched every episode of that show twice, so I've given it enough chances.
Yeah, he was in Smallville. He was actually played by, I think, Dean Cain, who was actually Superman in The Adventures of Lois and Clark, or whatever that old show was called. So, yeah, that's where I heard of him before.
Yeah, but he was just kind of thrown in here. I don't know who he is. I don't really care who he is. And the stupid thing, they have Etrigan, this badass demon who can shoot fire and has a giant fucking flame sword. They don't let him fight.
That was not a good idea.
Yes, he's in there for he's only in there for a couple panels, like at the beginning when he puts the Jason, and then at the end where he makes up with Xanadu doing, and he gets ready to fight.
Well, hopefully we can have a kick-ass fight scene second issue then. Hopefully. Think anyone will be sticking around to read that one? Was it worth it?
Maybe not. I don't know. Just if they had to set this in modern times with just Etrigan going crazy, like if it had been like that kind of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde thing, that would have been more interesting to me. But this is just kind of poor medieval fantasy shit. So I gave it a 3 out of 5. I might look into the next one if like some of the reviews I've seen, some of the reviews from some of the sites I go to actually say if it's any good or not.
Fair enough. But, or if it's free enough.
Yes, or if it's free enough. But for now, Demon Knights gets a 3 out of 5.
All right, fair enough.
Okay, one left. So, Grifter. This was one I was most, this is one I was kind of, actually looking forward to, because I've been reading some of the Wildstorm stuff with, Gen 13, Team 7 and shit, and Grifter seemed kind of cool. He seemed one of the more interesting characters to me. I really liked him in Lois Lane and the Resistance stuff for Flashpoint.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure where this issue takes place in the timeline. Has Grifter already been a part of Team 7? Has he already done all the military shit? Has he already gotten, the weird psychic kind of powers? Or is he just a dude who is going to be getting those powers later on? Because, okay, just kind of spoilers, but there's aliens, I guess. So, yeah, what happens is he gets knocked out. He gets, knocked out. Grifter, he pulls a con on someone with his girlfriend, who's the Grifter. Then he gets knocked out and taken away to aliens, but then they're about to do something to him. Then he wakes up and beats the guy who's holding him hostage to death with a pipe. And he just kind of, starts freaking out, but oh, God, I just killed a person. Motherfucker! Yeah. Part of Team 7.
Yeah, that's a little weird that he'd have some sort of remorse.
Yes, he has the remorse, but then later on he gets onto a plane to go meet his girlfriend who's in Brazil or something, because, you know, get away with the money. But then he starts hearing all these voices from the aliens because they were doing something to him, possibly anally, which, like, prepared him to have, like, an alien put inside of him, but it didn't work. So now he can just hear where the aliens are. And so in this one, one of the aliens shows up, and he just, like, fucking grabs those scissors and starts stabbing the fucking thing on the plane.
Wow.
So he goes from beating a guy to death with a pipe and then kind of, like, almost throwing up to stabbing a dude and jumping out of an airplane while stabbing the dude. And then, the entire time he's, like, carrying around, like, his weird grifter mask thing. But he always just acts like it's a rag, so he's using his face thing as a sweat rag.
Huh.
Oh, weird. And just stupid thing. Really stupid thing. So, this is kind of, like, later spoiler-y, I guess. So the plane that he's on gets brought down, kind of. Well, almost gets brought down. Makes an emergency landing. And then his girlfriend calls, and he calls his girlfriend, and his girlfriend says, like, oh, that's what I saw. I saw a guy description in the news of some guy who brought, like, some terrorist who brought down a plane. No one else knew who it was, but I know who it was. Then she hangs up the phone and goes to a police station. Then the description gets shown on TV, and it's a text description.
Huh.
Yeah, it was like a 25 to 30 year old male, blonde hair, 5'11" to 6'2". And she knew it was him automatically.
Yeah, that's annoying. That's like a lot of people fit that profile. I fit that profile.
Yes, it's just so fucking stupid. And I.
He said his name was John Smith.
Yes, that too, motherfucker. Just goddamn. So I gave it a 2.5 out of 5. Like, I do like the art, and, you know, Grifter, he is, like, I do like him as a character. I just really hope that this series actually gets better as time goes on. This is one I'm actually going to be looking into issue 2 to see if it got any better. But for now, 2.5 out of 5. It is definitely not worth it unless you are, like, a major Grifter fan, and even then, you'll probably be disappointed.
Right on. Kind of.
Okay. So, that takes care of the reviews for this week.
That was a long one.
Yes. So, what you can expect for the coming weeks?
I have... go ahead, sorry.
Okay, so, the reviews that we will be trying to write for this week, from the 21st to the 28th, I will be taking a look at Batman, Catwoman, Batman, Catwoman, Nightwing, and Wonder Woman.
It's a pretty sweet lineup.
Yeah. Okay, so, Aaron Yeh, what are you going to be taking a look at for this week?
I myself will be covering Teen Titans, which, like I said earlier, I'm hoping we'll have a tie-in with Superboy. Aquaman, which, you know, I guess I'm kind of looking forward to. I hope they turn him into a little bit less of a bitch.
That comes out next week. I'm talking about the ones that come out this week.
Oh, this week. My God, I'm a week ahead of myself. Yeah, no, this week. Thank you for stopping me. This week I'm doing Captain Atom, Birds of Prey, Blue Beetle, and Supergirl, which I guess I also hope ties in a little bit with Superboy.
Yeah. So, Bobby.
All right, we'll all be doing DC Universe Presents, Green Lantern Corps, Legion of Superheroes, and Red Hood and the Outlaws.
Okay. And then, for next week, this is the 28th, I'll be taking a look at Batman the Dark Knight, Flash, Justice League Dark, Superman, and I think that was it. Oh, and Fury of Firestorm. So that actually looked kind of good, because I don't know if you guys remember from, like, the previous universe, but they essentially established that Firestorm was the most powerful being in existence.
Yeah, that's cool. That's going to be awesome, I think.
Mm-hmm. So, Arnie, what ones you got?
Well, I already spewed half of them by accident, but I'll reiterate. I said Teen Titans and Aquaman. Those two actually I'm kind of looking forward to, hoping for some promising stuff. Then I'm also going to be covering Voodoo, which I'm extremely unfamiliar with, so hopefully I can, you know, do some background research and whatnot. And also the Savage Hawkman.
Okay.
It's looking like a somewhat interesting week for me, so I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, and then Bobby.
All right, well, I will be doing All-Star Western, Black Hawks, Green Lantern, New Guardians, and I, Vampire.
Mm-hmm. So presumably a spinoff of I, Zombie. Because there were vampires in that, I think.
I suppose we'll see.
And it was, like, Vertigo. So they haven't...
Yeah, they haven't
bringing some of the stuff from there, like, other marquees and bringing it into the main universe.
Well, that was Swamp Thing, wasn't it? That was Vertigo.
No, Swamp Thing started out as, like, Bringer DC.
Huh.
And then it got switched over to Vertigo.
Okay.
Now they're bringing it back. Papa's going home, boys. Okay, so that covers New 52. So, have you guys had a chance to read anything else for the last couple of weeks?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Personally, me, no.
I've actually, this is a little bit old, I'm a little bit slow on the take here, switching companies, I've actually been reading a little bit more Marvel stuff lately. I've been reading J. Michael Straczynski's run on The Amazing Spider-Man, just because I really wanted to get in as much of that as I could when the movie comes out next year, which I'm excited about, despite many people being a little bit skeptical. Mm-hmm. And that's been awesome. J. Michael Straczynski has got to be one of my favorite writers so far. He really knows the character, Peter Parker. And I've only read the first two collected editions out of, I think, five or six. So there's definitely more for me to read, but I am liking what I'm reading so far. And if you are a Spider-Man fan at all, even especially a classic Spider-Man fan, J. Michael Straczynski is your man. He's doing a very good job. Well, he's done a very good job. And I would recommend checking that out for sure.
Okay, cool. So, as for me, I've been reading a fucking lot.
That's good.
Okay, so for starters, let's go with The Ultimate Universe.
Oh, boy.
It's Marvel Ultimate Universe. They recently started out the new, like, Marvel Ultimate Universe Reborn or whatever. With Ultimates 1, they got Hawkeye, Ultimate Comics Hawkeye, and just last week, Ultimate Comics Spider-Man. So we finally get to see new Spider-Man. We finally get to see Miles Morales as he becomes the new Spider-Man.
Not looking forward to that.
It is actually really good.
Is it? I'm gonna check it out, I think.
It's fucking great.
I remain skeptical. That one hit me hard. So.
Yeah, like Morales, he actually is the kind of guy you would expect to become a Spider-Man, because the thing starts out, he's going into a lottery to get into a like really good school. And it's just like a lottery thing, so if someone pulls the number, that kid's like freaking out, like, yeah, I got it, wow, fuck yeah! And then Miles, like, the number gets pulled for him, and then he just starts, and his parents are freaking out, and he's kind of like looking around, seeing about other kids crying, and feeling sorry for them with him having been able to get, like, this really lucky draw and get into the school, while they are just, well, they aren't. So he already does kind of have that really angsty, like, depressed mindset of, like, oh man, I got this great thing happening in my life, but all these other people, they're kind of like shit, so fuck, I'm kind of depressed.
Now, is there any mention, I believe, I read not too long ago, they were actually not, they said that they were not closed to the idea of having him, having the character be portrayed as homosexual. Was there any indication of that in this issue?
Not really, and like, I read that same thing, but then I actually read, like, went out and then looked at some of the stuff from the artist, and she wasn't implying that this character was going to be gay at all. Like, she just said, like, it didn't matter if the character was black or white, gay or straight.
Okay, so the media just kind of took that and ran with it?
Yes, like, just, I wanted to talk about this, I might have talked about it already, but a motherfucker, like, an actual news correspondent from Fox News, took time out of his broadcast to say, Peter Parker died, they're replacing him with a half-black, half-Mexican Spider-Man. They took time out of their day to say the not real version of a not real person is being replaced by another not real person who is not white.
Well, Fox News has got to be all over that then. It's Fox News, man.
Yeah. Okay, and just one other thing. You know how... Okay, so he gets his powers from Spider. But guess how that Spider got to him?
I don't know.
Snoop Dogg.
Oh, God, are you shitting me?
No, he has an uncle who looks exactly like Snoop Dogg.
Wow. That's a little racist.
Not really, because it's not like he just comes in and is like... It's not like he just, like, opens the door. He has, like, the braided hair while smoking a doobie. He's like, yo, what's up? It's your uncle, D-O-double-G.
Does he talk like Snoop Dogg, too?
No, he doesn't. He talks like a person.
Okay, that's fine, then. That's okay.
Yeah, like he doesn't have... He just looks exactly like Snoop Dogg. And he's like, hey, man, I got some popsicles. You want one? And then as he goes away, a spider, which latched onto him after he broke into Oscorp, like, goes up, bites the kid's hand, and then he passes out. And he gets invisibility.
Whoa, really?
Ooh.
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm totally going to read it now. It might have just made it worth it for me.
Yes, it is like the Spider Stealth suit from Big Time Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man, Big Time. But it is a built-in ability within itself.
Yeah, okay, you convinced me. I'm going to read it now. I'll comment on it next week.
And I'm not sure if he has organic webbing or not.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't say?
No, like, all it is like, he gets bit, then he passes out, and he turns invisible. And he's like, whoa. So, they get spoilers for that, I guess. Hopefully, but... Yeah, Spider-Man can turn invisible. Okay,
all
so...
Right, I'm checking that out for sure.
Okay, so, also started reading Morning Glories.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, so it's written by Scott Snyder, who is this really great writer. He did some of the stuff for the New 52. He's been doing a bunch of stuff for, like, New Ultimate Comics Universe thing. And he also did American Vampire.
Okay.
So he's been doing a fucking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Morning Glories, it starts out with, you're in, like, a prep school. Yeah, so you're in, like, a prep school. There's, like, kids sitting around talking. Teacher comes in, and he's like, all right, so why don't you just stand up? So you stand up and tell me about your science fair project. Well, I'm doing this, what I'm doing is this experiment, like, this chemical. It's highly unstable, and it can be easily spread across just a plain black surface. And then as she's saying that, the teacher goes, puts chalk on the board, and then the chalkboard explodes.
Ha!
And the student jumps out the window, and then tries to escape while armed guards are running her down. She then goes into this weird room with a giant spinning electrical cork thing. And then a ghost puts his hand through her head and she starts bleeding from the eyes.
What the hell? Does this make any sense at all? Like, does it tie it together?
Yes, it does. It actually makes some sense. Because, like, this school is run by this really insane, like, fucking, like, their own kind of paramilitary kind of thing. Where they're trying to figure out what this giant spinning cork thing is, and they need the kids to do it because some of the kids might be, like, psychic or something. And, like, one kid every time she kills herself, she, like, goes to the future and talks with her future self.
That's weird.
Yeah, and then, like, one of them has a twin brother who was there, and they, like, switched identities when they were kids so that one of them would take away, the other one would stay. And all the kids who go there, they all have the same birthday. And the teachers are constantly trying to kill these kids.
So, you know, blowing the dude up with the chalkboard was a good idea.
Yes, and it was a lady.
Oh, good.
Yes, and there's this, like, one issue where, I think it's, like, midway, there's things, like, 12 issues in, I think it was, like, issue 5 or 6, where this girl, like, the main girl from the main group of kids, she is being talked to by a teacher the same. Say, all right, so just do this stuff, like, try, like, we really don't care what you do, just as long as you don't interfere with us. So then he brings in this kid, who he said was like a son to him. He's been raising him for years. Then he strangles him to death in front of her.
Wow, this is kind of messed up.
And then just drops his dead body in front of her on her desk. It's like, I just killed this kid, and he was like a son to me. What do you think I'll do to you?
That's a pretty permanent way of getting your point across, but whatever floats your boat.
Yes, and she did not react to it at all. She was just fucking stone-faced, like, can I go now?
Wow. Okay,
she was fucking badass.
That's a little out there, but super interesting.
It is insane, it is amazing, and I fucking love it. Okay, well, what the fuck else am I reading? Hack Slash. So, Hack Slash, they're 7 issues deep into this new series. They were picked up by Image. And so, do either of you guys know what Hack Slash is?
I'm mildly familiar. Couldn't really talk too much about it.
Okay, so, Hack Slash, what it is there's this girl, Cassandra Hack. When she was younger, it was found out that her mom was killing kids who were being mean to her in the school cafeteria because she was a cafeteria lady. So then the cops kill her, but then she comes back and starts killing some more kids. So then Cassie has to shoot her. And then from there she learns that there were other people who were serial killers in her life who came back with supernatural powers who kept killing people.
Wow.
So then she makes it her job in life to, like, hunt these people down and kill them to keep them from killing other people.
Well, that's fair enough, I guess.
Yeah, and then she rolls around with a giant motherfucker with a deformed face who has to wear a gas mask to breathe outside, who carries around two giant knives, and his name is Vlad.
That's an appropriate name, I like that.
And I'm pretty sure Vlad wants to fuck her.
Good for Vlad.
Yes, like, that's the thing, like, he,
I can dream.
Yeah, like, what happens is he has sex with in the old series when it was being put out by Devil Studio Publishing, there was this, bit where, like, these rock stars were, like, sacrificing virgins to this evil tentacle god thing in this world called Neff. So then Vlad fucks one of their groupies.
So then he goes to play
the solo to mind control again, and then, like, nothing happens. Like, oh, yeah, he's fucking kidding me. And Vlad's just like, I have had the sex vagina! And then dives in at the tentacle monster with two giant knives.
Just a little off, this Vlad fellow.
Yeah, and then Cassie has, like, a lesbian relationship with a black chick, and then she starts fucking a... And then she, like, might start fucking a, like, well, she wants to fuck a weird, immortal serial killer with one eye named Sam Hain. Yeah, and then it goes into this issue where Vlad is, like, carrying over those emotions. Like, he actually does want to have some kind of, like, real emotional relationship with Cassie that's more intense than what they have now. And, like, the first couple issues, it had this chick called the Acid Queen, who just started, like, doing all this, putting all these seeds of doubt into Vlad's mind. Like, I am not, it was like, at one point he just freaks out, like, I am not your bitch, stop telling me what the fuck to do, I am your partner on this thing. And then, like, everything goes sideways from there. And now Cassie is, like, connected to this demon thing from the tentacle world who's been killing famous people. And she's been having dreams while it's been happening of these famous people being murdered. You guys still there?
Oh, yeah. Kicking around. Oh, yeah. I don't feel like I can really add anything. I haven't read, like, any of it before, so I'm more absorbing.
Fucking read this shit. Like, straight out, Hack/ My First Maniac gives you, like, the backstory and everything you need. It's really great. I fucking love Hack/.
Duly noted. I'll check it out as well.
So good. It takes, like, the classic, like, 80s style slasher flick, aesthetic, and then just has people saying fucking hot chicks everywhere with giant knives and everything, and then... Yes, it is a modern take on an 80s slasher film in the best possible way.
Perfect. Sounds good.
Okay. Also, I've been reading Spider Island.
No idea what that is.
Good it's thing. Amazing Spider-Man.
Well, I'm not reading it, but I know it's good.
Yes, it is an amazing. It is an amazing Spider-Man storyline where the Jackal, that great, great villain, has given everyone on the island of Manhattan spider powers.
Oh, yeah, you know what? I like this already. Yes. I just opened the Wikipedia page, too, because I felt really bad about not knowing anything about it, so that looks awesome.
Yes, it is really good, like, but just fucking the Jackal? I fucking hate the Jackal. Even makes jokes about cloning Spider-Man.
Hmm.
It's like, oh, Mr. Parker, no matter how many times I clone you, you're still interesting. And I'm like, oh, this chick, I wanted to clone her to save my life. Just so really weird with the Jackal thing. But then it is really good because, like, it brought back the big-time art style, which I really liked. And then at one point, like, there's this thing where a bunch of Manhattaners with spider powers, they are, like, all dressed up like Spider-Man. And just going around, like, messing shit up in downtown. And, like, the Avengers and the Future Foundation, they come along and start beating the crap out of everyone. Then the real Spider-Man jumps in to try to stop him. And he gets the living hell beaten out of him.
Wow.
Yes, and he actually does tell his girlfriend that he has spider powers and he's Spider-Man the same day she gets spider powers.
I have Spider powers. So do I.
He's like, Spider powers. Oh, really? So does everybody. It's like, oh, God, fucking damn it. Yeah, and it's real good. And there have been, like, a couple times where, like, he has almost told her that he was Spider-Man. Yeah, like, there's this one bit where they're fighting, like, a bunch of spider people in this warehouse, and he busts out with his spider kung fu that he learned after he lost his spider sense.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and then she's like, where the hell did you learn to do that? And she's like, and he's like, fuck, just tell her. I learned, got it to, like, an afternoon class at the Y.
Why?
Yeah, and it's really cool because it's actually like a big spanning thing. Like right now, they have like a bunch of different spider characters who are actually really interesting, except for Spider Girl, because like fuck her.
You don't like Spider Girl?
No, fucking dude. Mystical spider tattoos.
Yeah, that's pretty stupid.
The Society of Wasps.
Do I see like Captain America with a spider suit on in this picture here?
Yes. Everyone gets spider abilities. The Kingpin gets spider powers.
need some thick webbing for that.
Hercules gets spider powers.
Wow. So yeah, I'm checking this out. This looks cool. I had no idea.
I think Cloak and Dagger get spider powers.
Kind of embarrassed.
Yeah.
The cool thing that's going on right now is like they have like a bunch of different stories going on. It's not like the Spider-Man thing where like Peter Parker and Carly are just going out like doing cop stuff. Peter has to go with her to make sure she's safe, and then he also, because now he's making, like, it's kind of out that he makes tech for Spider-Man.
Mm.
Yeah, that's his big thing. Like
that's his cover, yeah.
Yeah, he started working at Horizon Labs, and then, like, it gives him a chance to actually just, like, work unabated on new spider tech, and then, like, convert that into actual tech to make money off of it.
That's sick.
And then his boss just kind of found out stuff and was like, okay, what are you doing all this shit? And then Peter's just about to tell him something. It's like, I get it. You make the tech for Spider-Man, don't you? And he's like, yeah, let's go with that.
That sounds good.
Yeah, and it's actually really cool because he's been able to like appropriate some of his technology from that from the lab into his own spider suit and use the stuff that he made up for his like spider tech for fighting supervillains. To be actually used in real life with actual things. Like, he invented this thing when he was fighting Hydro Man. Mm-hmm. It's like a little pellet. He shoots it out, freezes him instantly.
Huh.
And then he goes back to the lab, and then, like, there are a bunch of worms, like, alright, watch this, pushes the button. They all just freeze, like, oh my god, you killed them. No, watch this, pushes another button, they instantly thaw out.
That's sick. No, I'm embarrassed. I haven't heard about this. I'm gonna check this out.
Yes, like, you should be embarrassed.
I am. I always consider myself a pretty big Spider-Man fan, and this was overlooked by me. So that's my bad. Uh-huh. And I'm definitely gonna be checking that out.
Yes, and it's really cool because now like with Venom going on right now, they have that crossover with Venom, like Flash Thompson in the Venom suit, fucking up spider people.
Yeah, that's cool too. I knew about that. Mm-hmm. I knew that much.
Yes, and now Eddie Brock is back in the fold as the anti-Venom.
I've actually read an Anti-Venom issue not too long ago, so
I really like the Anti-Venom.
Me too. He's pretty. I'm glad they didn't make him some like polar opposite of Venom. He's still kind of a badass, but like
yes, he is the badass, and he's still just like trying to do the good, like the right thing, like on the Land of Spider Island, where like there's a whole Gene DeWolf thing with like that kind of thing, and then Eddie's going around it's like Martin Lee is Mr. Negative. Why the fuck can't you people see that? And then Spider-Man's just like, yeah, of course he is. And it actually turns out that he is, and it's like, holy fuck, he was right. And he's just like, thank you, and then just like flies off into the sky with a big demon grin on his face. He's like, ha, I was right, he was wrong. And like in this thing, he's going around like actually taking away people's spider powers, because that's what he can do now.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how Spider-Man lost his spider sense.
Yeah, I'm not sure, like, I don't know, I feel like I want him to have that back.
Yeah, he might actually get some of that stuff back. Like, he might get invisibility or organic webbing or spider sense back after the Spider Island thing.
I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be an awesome thing.
Or he might just actually just lose his powers altogether.
No, because, fuck that. Yeah, fuck
because
that.
Reed Richards, he developed antivirus to keep people, like, get people to lose their spider powers.
If they do that, I'm going to be ticked.
So, for all we know, he might actually just do that, and then he might just use his Horizon tech to just, like, make himself a suit that, like, augments his fucking abilities, like, augments his regular abilities so that he can do all the weird spider stuff without actually having spider powers.
Huh.
Yeah. Huh. Something to think about.
Yeah, that's a prospective series, I guess.
Comic, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, fuck, what else have I been reading? Because I've been reading a lot.
Yeah, apparently so. I'm kind of feeling left behind here. I'm going to have to catch up.
Okay, so, Fear Itself. This is interesting. So, well, you're kind of big into Marvel. Have you been reading any Fear Itself?
Me?
Yeah.
Anya. Yeah. I've picked up and flipped through a couple of issues. So I don't want to say I am any sort of expert, but it does look interesting as well. It's just I'm absolutely broke right now, so thinking about maybe finding free alternatives to getting these.
I know I've already hooked you up. Like I've introduced you to some people who know some people.
Yeah, I know. I like to support the small comic book shops, but when I'm broke, so.
Yeah, I like to support them too, but, you know, to do that you need money.
Yeah, I know.
Or a job.
I hear you.
Because, you know, I'm fucking unemployed still.
I'm working a job, but I have too much. I'm not making enough money. But this is not a podcast about how sad our lives are.
Yes. I'm working a job, but I only get paid like once every month.
So that's.
And even then, it's not that much because I get paid on a per page basis.
Oh, that's actually pretty shitty.
Yes, $1 a page.
Better work hard.
Yes, but then I also have like schoolwork to do. Like even tonight. After I record this, I have to read 3 chapters of a textbook and then 2 supplemental readings before I have to go into a crime scene house and investigate shit.
Yeah, busy night ahead of you.
Because science, people.
I'm going to bed early, not going to lie.
I'm guessing that the idea of a podcast about how sad our lives are would be pretty long.
Yeah, probably. Yes, we could argue it out to see who has it the shittiest.
We have to divide that shit into like 7 parts.
Coming soon on Death Door Productions. Epic argument spanning 7 podcasts.
Yes. But not because it's like we need 7 podcasts to talk about. It's just that we do 1 podcast, but it'll be about 700 megs.
Yeah. You gotta figure it out, break it up so you can have a break and maybe, you know, appreciate your own life in between the podcasts.
Yes, okay, so Fear Itself. What that's been about is Red Skull's daughter found the hammer of the God of Fear. And then brought back to life Odin's long, like, sealed up brother, who then gave some hammers to a bunch of people who were, like, messing house, and then it turns out Franklin Richards still has his reality-altering abilities.
Hmm.
Yeah, because, like, the longest time ago, Franklin Richards, he is, like, one of the most powerful beings in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
Yes, he's like Scarlet Witch, but sane. And so, like, Reed and Sue, they thought they put blocks in it, like, psychic blocks in his head to keep him from accessing his full powers. And he's been telling everyone that that's been, where it's like, because he needs powers? No, not really. And then Ben, after he gets, like, possessed by a hammer, and they got, like, a hole ran through his chest by Thor or something. He just, like, hey, it's like, hey, Ben, remember how I kept telling Mom and Dad that I can't use any of my powers anymore? I lied. And then
that's
heals
awesome.
Him.
That's awesome.
Oh, and Bucky Barnes dies.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So Steve Rogers is back at Captain America.
I'm actually kind of okay with that. I never really liked Bucky.
I never really knew who Bucky was.
Well, his name is Bucky, okay? What is... It's
yes.
It's 2011, okay?
2011, motherfuckers. You know, he should have... Like, I kind of like what they did with Bucky in the Ultimate Universe, where he's just an old fucking dude now.
Yeah, that was appropriate.
And like, it's like he was in the 40s. Hey, I'm Cap's sidekick in the 70s. And then he's like, usually he's like, I'm married to Cap's girlfriend.
Yeah, awkward.
Yes, and then Cap starts fucking the Wasp, and then she gets eaten by the Blob. And there's weird mutant incest. And edible incest at that.
Yeah. That's interesting, I guess.
Yep. Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver start fucking each other.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
And the reason Quicksilver's fucking the Scarlet Witch is because she looks like their mom.
Yeah, I've heard about that sort of aspect they play into those two, and incest.
Yeah, it's...
There are superheroes in Kinmount?
No, they're in Omimi.
God forbid.
Superheroes in Kinmount, that would be horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's like, I could... It's like, what can you do? I can bench press the state! He's like, all right, spell your name. K. Arcane. L. 7. Purple.
Patriotism.
Canadian. Okay, so Fear itself has been good. I'll just put it at that. 6 issues deep, it's a 7 issue series. It's gonna be over soon. Read it while you can. You know, check it. And I'm probably gonna check out some of the Deadpool Fear itself stuff, because I love Deadpool.
Yeah, Deadpool. You never go wrong with him.
Speaking of Deadpool, I've been reading Deadpool.
There you go.
Yeah, so, like, so what happened was, Deadpool got arrested and put in an insane asylum prison thing.
I wonder why. He's totally sane.
Yes. Oh, and then the doctor he was with fell in love with him.
Right.
Yes. Fell so madly in love that that even though she's overweight and shouldn't have and has no business in a bodysuit, starts wearing a bodysuit in the same color scheme as Deadpool's. And after she gets knocked the fuck out by him, she finds a can of beans that he ate off of and starts tonguing it.
I like that. That's hilarious. Yes.
And then Deadpool swaps clothes with the Queen of England.
What?
Yeah, so what happens? So what's happening is Deadpool is escaping, like the prison is in England, so he's trying to escape. And then, like, the Secret Service guys are taking him the fuck out. He's like, wait, what the fuck's going on? Who are the other people? So then he goes in, so then he accidentally breaks into the Queen's carriage.
Yeah, that's pretty inconspicuous. Way to go.
Yes, so then they just start talking about it. You know, and then he actually has, like, a reasonable conversation with this woman. Deadpool has a reasonable conversation with the Queen of England, where she essentially says, you have to take out this doctor, because this doctor who's obsessed with you is killing people. So he's like, oh, god damn it. So then the carriage goes up to a stop, and then gunshots start going off. It's like, where are those shots coming from? Oh crap, they're coming from inside the carriage. so then the queen comes out, only she's dressed like Deadpool. And then Deadpool gets away and dresses the queen.
That's an interesting dynamic, I suppose.
It is really good. I love Deadpool.
Yeah, that's a classic move.
Yeah, and I think he's having the conversation, and I think he's also, like, having a conversation with the Queen while he's having a conversation with his two text box voices in his head.
Oh, yeah. You gotta have those guys around.
Yeah, but, like, for a couple issues, they weren't there.
That's...
Because the doctor was trying to cure Deadpool. Mm. Yeah, because before this, Deadpool turned suicidal.
Oh, really?
Which is impossible because he has the healing factor.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, he actually got the Hulk to atomize the top half of his body. Yes, and so what it was, like, top half of his body gets literally burst into nothingness. And then he starts having a relationship with death. But it eventually turns into, like, one of those really, really weird, like, the kind of relationship you'd expect, like, a high school football star who, like, broke his ankle or something to have with his wife, where he just, like, gets fat and just hanging out, like, the wife beater with the striped heart boxers, while the wife just comes home every day and is like, why don't you get up here fast and do some work? I was like, bitch, I'm dead! I don't got to do no work no more. And then he comes back, and then he goes into the insane asylum, and it gets real good. And I cannot wait to see where this goes. Oh, God, I love Deadpool. Okay, almost done with what I've been reading.
Wow, yeah, that's a lot of stuff, man.
Okay, also, been catching up on Dokken, Dark Wolverine.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that kicking around.
It's good.
Yeah?
Yeah, like, Dokken, what's happened is he's gone to Hollywood, and he found these pills called Heat, which mess up his healing factor.
Hmm.
So he'll take a Heat pill, he'll get shot, and the bullet won't heal until the effects of the Heat wear off. Which could be hours.
Yeah.
And it is just really cool, because, like, and there's, like, an FBI agent who's trying to track him down and do stuff, because, like, there's someone been going around killing people with claws, and then there's, like, trying to figure out who that is, and Moon Knight shows up at one point, and, you know, Moon Knight, he's kind of schizophrenic.
Yeah.
So he shows up thinking he's Wolverine.
Oh.
If you don't know, Wolverine is Dokken's dad.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so he shows up with, like, fake claws attached while he's talking to an internal, he's talking to internal hallucinations of Captain America and Spider-Man.
Yeah, wow, that's messed up.
It's good. It's really good. And, like, the art style actually changes when Dokken's on Heat. Yeah, it goes into like some weird kind of later issue 30 Days a Night looking stuff.
Wow. And that's actually kind of nice. I like when they do stuff like that with the artwork.
Oh, okay. Last thing I'm going to talk about before we got to move on to new releases. Fly. So this is a thing put up by Zenoscope, who do the Grim Fairy Tales stuff. I think I've talked about it before, like 2 weeks ago when we did our first episode. And what Fly is this, like, jumps in between two different time points where, like, one time point, it's, like, in the past, actually has, like, a past kind of art style, like a more modernized Archie's Comics-looking art style.
Mm-hmm.
Where this kid, he makes friends with another kid, whose dad works for the military, and he has this syringe of glowing blue liquid that you inject into your arm, and it gives you Superman powers.
I'm okay with that.
Yes. And then fast forward to modern times where you got the modern art style, and one of the guy's former girlfriends is fucking insane and using the powers to torture this guy until he dies.
Hmm.
Like, not so much until he actually dies, just like torture him until the end of time. She tries to kill his current girlfriend, destroys his house, throws him out like a 4-story window. But because he's been on Fly for a while, it's like he has like an increased healing factor or something, so it helps heal him down faster. And then there's like this other plot where like the guy who originally like gave him the heat is like trying to find the guy who murdered his parents, who's been going around destroying supplies of heat. Like freaking Fly. Fuck, I'm confusing things. I'm tired talking. Okay, so yeah, Fly is really good. Check it out.
Duly noted. That sounds awesome.
Okay, moving on. New releases. I've sent the link for this week and next week's releases in the chat, so you guys just pull it up, have a look at it, and then talk about some of the things you're looking, talk about some of the things you're interested in from that list. So just me looking over it now. Okay, so. God. Okay, so. From Dynamite coming out this week, we got Butcher Baker Candlestick Maker.
Well, that sounds like it's pretty interesting.
It is the origin story of the leader of the boys, who are the superhero police who repeatedly fuck over superheroes who are into necrophilia and tranny hookers.
Huh, that's out there.
It's good. It's really good. Billy Butcher, he's like the leader of the boys, he's one of the most interesting characters. And now we're like actually learning about how he came to be this guy that he is, like how he came to be like the cold calculating and kind of sadistic motherfucker who leads the boys, and how he actually came to be in the boys in the first place, and how he got his powers and shit.
Hmm.
That's real good. And hopefully, she found out what happened to his wife. Because, one thing that happened was, His wife, like, got raped and was impregnated by a superhero, and then the super baby, like, clawed its way out of her stomach and, like, shot lasers into his neck, so then he had to kill it.
Wow, that's dark. Yeah, that sounds promising. I suppose I actually might like that.
Yes.
I'm going to have to cut you off there for 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually going to have to eject myself from the conversation. Mm. However, I will definitely be back next week, and hopefully I'll have some reviews posted within the next couple of days.
Okay.
So continue on without me, comrades, and I will be speaking to you shortly, and good night, Internet.
Okay, hopefully this doesn't break the recording.
I'll give it a shot. I think I'm the third man in the conversation here, so... Sorry if it does. And
it says call with Jordan Duran. So that's you. Spoilers.
Oh yeah, whatever. Okay. Well, sorry if I do, but I do get a bounce. So.
Okay, so maybe expect a break right now.
Okay, there you go. Expect a break. Hopefully it doesn't happen. But.
Okay, go.
See you later.
You still there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Looks like we might still be recording. I don't know.
How can we tell?
It has the play option on right now. Okay, I think it's still recording. Yeah, it has like the levels going on and up and stuff, and it says like we can't hang up call. We can't play something while the call's still going on, and I think this is still recording. Like the record button is blanked out right now.
Okay, so I guess we'll guess it's recording, and if it's not, then it's an abruptly ending podcast.
Yeah.
It's free, people. It's free.
Yes, blame Aranya. Okay, so, I'll just come out for this week that I'm looking forward to. Blah, 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 blah. Red Wing. This is actually kind of cool because it's like a time travel thing, but it doesn't deal with like the normal time travel shit of like, oh, if we go back in time, we like change this or some shit. These guys, they have like a paradox machine.
Oh, so they can pretty much do whatever the hell they want.
Yes, they can like go back in time, murder every single dinosaur, and then come back in, and then come forward in time and nothing's changed.
I literally just watched the first episode of Doctor Who with the idea the paradox machine is introduced. So, I know the paradox machine.
Okay, and then also, coming out from Image, we got Witch Doctor number 3. Which, like, the Witch Doctor series has been really cool. It's like, it's really interesting. It's like a funny take on, yeah, it's like, the world still has, like, the really fucked up supernatural shit. And so the Witch Doctor is there to, like, help people, like, with weird, horrible demonic or spiritual diseases.
Right.
And he actually has, like, medical names for them.
So kind of a modern take on, we still needed witch doctors.
It's House MD meets Constantine.
Okay, alright. That puts it pretty simply.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then, coming out from Marvel, we got Marvel Universe versus Wolverine. That is really good.
The whole damn universe.
Yes, it's kind of like the Marvel Zombies stuff. Yeah, like a little while ago they had something out where it was called Marvel Universe versus the Punisher. And so it was like the Punisher in this like fucked up universe where like every Marvel character is a horrible man eating cannibal. And so like the Punisher's just trying to survive. And then in this one, taking place during the initial outbreak of this horrible cannibalism virus, while Wolverine is trying to stop it.
Alright. So, actually trying to stop it rather than just trying to survive. Because I was about to say, you know, Wolverine stands a lot more chance of survival than Punisher.
Mm-hmm. Okay, also we got Ultimate Comics X-Men Issue 1. So this is part of that whole Ultimate Universe Reborn thing, and it looks really cool. I'm actually really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm just going to have to catch up with the Ultimate Universe Reborn. Mm-hmm. It does sound really good.
And finally, for me, from Zenoscope, we got Grim Fairy Tales Inferno. This is a one-shot, which is the 11th of 12 parts for the Dream Eater crossover. And so, yeah, it looks really good. Because Dream Eater has been really, really cool.
All right.
Okay, so, Bovi, anything on this list you were looking forward to?
I haven't had much of a chance to look directly at it. I'm going to say, since I'm very much behind on a lot of things, for this next week, I'm pretty much going to be doing catch-up.
Mm-hmm. As well as the New 52.
As well as the New 52, yeah.
Because I swear to God, if you fall behind,
I will not fall behind on the New 52, I can guarantee you of that.
Okay.
Right now, I'm just taking a look at, other than, like I said, I'm probably going to read all of the Ultimate Comics Reborn.
There are 4 out, and coming out this week is also Ultimate Comics Hawkeye issue 2 of 4. So far there are 4 series out. There's Ultimate Comics Ultimates, Ultimate Comics Hawkeye, Ultimate Comics Spider-Man, and now Ultimate Comics X-Men. So, yeah, that's going to be cool. Still there?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much going to be it for me for this week.
Okay, moving on to next week. So, nothing from DC because we're already doing all that shit. Dynamite. Warlords of Mars, issue 10. So, I really like the Warlords of Mars. I still need to read issue 9, but issue 10 is coming out next week, so yay! Then, IDW. They usually put out some good shit. Holy fuck. Alright, so coming out next week from IDW Publishing, Ghostbusters Issue 1. You still there, dude?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm just trying to figure out how to react to Ghostbusters in a comic.
IDW are the same guys who just a couple weeks ago relaunched the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So yeah, that's a thing.
Oh, I'm looking at a Godzilla Kingdom of Monsters. I've always been a fan of Godzilla, but I'm not sure, you know, penciled in rather than being a rubber suit.
Yes. Well, penciled in rather than being a toy that some guy picked up at a department store. Alright, so moving on. Image. We got some good stuff. We got Elephant Men, issue 35, and Hack / issue 8. So that's going to be fucking awesome. Then, Marvel. Amazing Spider-Man 670, so more Spider Island. New series called Brilliant. Just let me pull up the page on that. Wait for it to load. Right, so, ooh, Brian Michael Bendis. That's gonna be fucking awesome. So, the first creator-owned book by Ultimate Spider-Man co-creators Brian Michael Bendis and Mark Bagley, Brilliant tells the story of a handful of college-age geniuses who challenge each other to solve the mystery of superpowers. Okay, that looks really good. That's coming up next week. Then what else we got? We got Deadpool Max, issue 12. Which, yeah.
Yeah, Deadpool Max is an issue I keep seeing every time I look online or go into a comic store. I haven't actually gotten an opportunity to read it yet, but that's something I'm going to be spending a few hours with, just getting completely caught up.
Yes, imagine the current Deadpool series, but much more violent.
That sounds great, because, you know, Deadpool is 70% entertaining because of violence.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then, we also got Kick-Ass 2, issue 4. So, have you been reading the new Kick-Ass stuff?
No, I haven't been, because that's another thing I'm way behind on.
It's so good.
Which is actually everything I'm way behind on, except for the new 52.
Okay, so essentially Kick-Ass joins the Justice League of this universe.
Yeah, I've heard you mention that before.
Okay, then, also next week we've got Ultimate Comics Spider-Man issue 2 and Ultimate Comics Ultimates issue 2. Then we also got Venom issue 7, which is more Spider-Island, Foe.as. And Wolverine issue 16. I still need to read issue 15 from this week. Then some more stuff that I don't care about. Yeah, so after that, all bullshit. So, anything on that list that I didn't talk about that you would be interested in?
Sorry if I'm a bit slow to respond on the list. It's just I'm, like, tired and sick right now.
So am I.
Yeah.
And I still gotta read a bunch of shit. Like, that doesn't have pictures.
Oh my god.
It's fucking textbooks. Okay.
But so, I think mostly what I've talked about so far, like, getting up on Deadpool Max, Kick-Ass, catching up on stuff like that, yeah.
Well,
there's some specific series in there that I'll be reading, though, like Kick-Ass and Deadpool Max. Definitely.
Okay, well, just give me a second here to look up something. And okay, just be glad we only have one more. We only have, after next week, we no longer have to do the new 52 every week.
Yes, because that will make things much easier.
Yes.
I won't have to focus so much on
yes,
reading and reviewing the new 52.
Mm-hmm. This seems to be the thing with us, with this site. Every time we do a feature, we almost die. like when we did the 14 Days of Halloween, that was just like, oh, fuck. By the end of it, before we got into doing the 14 Days, we were also going to be doing a Christmas something thing. But then just by the time, like, we just finished the 14 days, we're just like, okay, fuck it, we're not doing Christmas. Okay, so after this, we probably will take a break from reviewing comics for a while. Oh, but, yeah, so, it looks like that will do it for this week in Comic Book Podcast. So, tune in tomorrow, where we will be doing, or we will be having our fucking anime podcast.
Anime.
Hopefully it'll be better. Yes, and just talking some shop, we will get into the big three, because I realized not much else goes on in anime.
And, well, if you look at the manga, at least, there's been some great action in the big three recently.
Yes, there has been. That's the thing. Like, the big three are the only issues where you can, like, expect to sit to come out every week. When, if you're doing an anime podcast, they're the only thing, really, that you can expect to come out every week, and you'll be actually able to talk about some shit that goes on in them. They'll actually be able to provide some quality content. And, hey, who knows? We might do something else with this comic. So, for Aaron Ye, I'm Dead.
I'm Bobby Wan.
See you next time.